Hi, everybody.
I'm Eileen S. Thank you so much for inviting me here today on Christmas. It's kind of, it's the way I want to live my life now. I want to integrate program with my life and not have it on the side. So I'm really happy to be here. I don't have any idea what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to tell you what is on my mind. So today I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. If you could have seen me in the past, you would have seen somebody who was confused by life, who thought everybody hated her, who I was a sullen employee. And mixed in with that thinking that I was still the sweet girl that I was when I was young. I know that I had this disease from the get-go. I just always found comfort in food. I just felt like I didn't fit in. And it had nothing to do with my childhood. I just was completely, I've heard the term, I was violently sensitive. Anything anybody said would hurt my feelings, would ruin my day. You know, I feel for the people that have loved me all my life because there really wasn't anything that they could say that was right. And so, as it says in the big book, I was very, very selfish and self-centered, and everything that went on around me somehow had to do with me. So I got into the food very young. I still remember when I have a lot of siblings. So when they came along and would get those little teething biscuits, I remember eating all of those. And, you know, as we know, being eaters, that the shame that when your parent or somebody says, who ate all of those? And I lie, you know, that's how I started my life, with shame and dishonesty. And I can laugh about it today, but, you know, really when I'm in the food, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a thief. And what I've learned this year is that the reason I'm full of shame, or was full of shame, is because I knew right from wrong, but I just couldn't live within the parameters of right and wrong because of my disease. So when I was little again, I just recently, it's interesting, had this memory that I don't know if anybody ever had an Easy Bake Oven, but I had one as a little girl, and the oven would shut and the light bulb would cook the cake. And I dented mine by trying to pry it open before it was done cooking. And to me, I was like, wow, that is a sign. You know, I had this superhuman strength. I'm going to tear open this thing just to get to the sugar inside. We would have beautiful breakfasts after church on Sunday, and everyone would leave the table full and satisfied. And I just couldn't get enough toast. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I just kept having more toast and toast and toast. So like many people, I really, when I hit puberty, I became very aware of my body, talking to other people. So I stopped eating for a while. And I do remember getting to a point where I couldn't eat, but thank God my parents were very aware. And I used to really resent them because my mother would tell on me to my father when she came home, when he came home at night, and say, you know, Eileen didn't eat anything. But I'm really, really grateful that I got out of that, because that is another terrifying facet of the disease. I did try things like trying to make myself throw up. There again, thank you, God, I was not any good at that. So I went to things like speed and just trying. I never felt like I had energy. I never felt like I could belong. And I have to tell you that today, because I eat regular intervals, I have more energy now than I've ever had in my life. And I'm healthier today than I've ever been in my life. I'm 59. And there's so much hope in this program. So if anybody's on the line that's new, you're not alone. There is an answer here. I think the great thing too about coming into Overeaters Anonymous, I mean, people joke about it, but it's ruined it for me for food. If I do go back in the food, I know there's no diet. This is where I belong. And so Yeah. So I was messing with food my whole life, and in college got into drinking as well. And perhaps I could have been in that other, the beverage program, but I just really liked food that much more. And so I think, you know, my story is 20s, 30s, 40s diets, periods where I wasn't eating a lot because I was drinking, or periods where I wasn't drinking because I was eating a lot. I always had to have that sugar. And I was miserable. I really was. I lived in fear. I would take jobs, just take any job. So I took jobs that were definitely below my intelligence level, but I wanted things to be easy. I needed to leave my options open because my brain was always telling me that I have to go eat. So I was never able to keep commitments. I would cancel on you all the time. It's very hard to maintain friendships. And I just kept trying. I guess I could say that. And today I'm happy to know that I'm not a bad person, but I am sick. And I found what I needed here in this program. So I came into program in 2014. And what brought me into program actually was a man. I became very, I can say now, obsessed with this person. And we were friends, but I wanted it to be more. So I decided to manipulate the entire situation so that I would get what I wanted. And I even bought a house for this gentleman. And then one day, I mean, for us to live in together. And one day he says to me, "Oh, Eileen, I'm so happy. I'm in love." And I was like, "What?" And he eventually married this woman that I introduced him to that I worked with. And I remember being really resentful and thinking, I can't believe I wasted 3 years. But I realized that it's God's divine plan that I had to fall so hard and so far. I just had nowhere to go after that, nowhere to go. And I remember eating in my house until there was nothing left except maybe baking soda. And I thought, it's never going to be enough. And I was devastated. I really didn't understand that. It's never going to be enough. And I got on the computer and I found Overeaters Anonymous, which I think was God, because I don't even know what I was looking for. And I have a darling, lovely sister who she's known my struggles my whole life. And she called me almost every hour, waking hour, until I went to my first meeting on a Tuesday night. And I arrived at OA. I sat in my car, and thank you, God, he got me to walk into the room. And they were on the eighth tradition, and I didn't know what the heck they were talking about. But it was a lovely meeting. Everybody was gracious. I do remember, no lie, that the ice cream man was going around the block, and it seemed like he went around the block like 50 times. But so that was my introduction to OA, and I thought I found some. I thought I got it. I lost a lot of weight right away. I kind of became a little rock star. People wanted me to sponsor them, but my sponsor took me to the level that she had because that's what was preached to us. You know, you can help somebody up to the level, and you know, we really didn't do 10, 11, and 12, and I reached great heights, I guess you could say. I helped put on a convention and I just saw what was possible. But it was based on very little. And so, say, I don't know, it was November 2015. I went on a road trip with my niece. I picked something up. By the end of the road trip, I was buying 8 to 10 of them a day and hiding them from her. And then really that went on until 2018, October 2018. I was 240 pounds. I'm 5'2". I lost an inch somewhere. And 240 pounds. I had moved here to Boise, Idaho to be near my niece and nephew. I was so big that I couldn't bend over. I couldn't tie my shoes. I couldn't stand to be around the kids. They annoyed me. I wanted to eat. They bothered me. They were noisy. And I was in hell. So in 2018 of October, I wanted to die. I didn't want to kill myself, but I wanted to die. And, you know, I thought I had hit bottom in 2014, but I guess this disease is progressive. I can keep going if I keep getting back into the food. So I went away for 5 days to a little retreat that basically is based on the 12 steps. And while I detoxed, I did steps 1 through 3. And since going there, I have maintained 100+ pound weight loss. And that's, I just can't wait. I wake up some days, I can't believe it. I'm like, what? I'm still wearing the same clothes. Like, it's after 50 plus years of being the other way, it's very, very hard to take in some days. But that's when I know that it's God and it is not me. I did my footwork, but God did the miracles. So I was going along, I thought good, but really 10th and 11th step again. 10th steps were really lacking. I got myself into a position where I said, I don't have anybody to give them to. So when I started playing with my abstinent food, which is what normal people would call, I was relapsing. I got a new sponsor in 2021. And I was turned on to some different kinds of meetings and I heard some amazing things. And so what my sponsor asked me to do was to report my food ahead of time, which I had never done before. I would give it to you afterwards, but I would lie. And so I was amazed too that I was asked that every time I wanted to make a change that I text my sponsor and not asking for permission, but basically as a way to pause. And I saw that I wanted to change my meal every opportunity I got. And that's always a great time for me, for my disease to get in there. So I started doing that and the desire to change came less and less. And I just got some discipline. And the next thing she asked is that I would call 3 recovered people a day and not just call them, but talk to them. And I really had never had that level of connection before. I'm an introvert. I thought, okay, I'll do the steps. I know it's a WE program. I'll sponsor. But I still wanted to kind of stay in my own little world. These 3 phone calls, I did them. I didn't complain. I was desperate. And after about a month, I was like, this isn't so bad. And then I think it was 6 weeks in, really, that I said, oh my God, I love this. And I feel that that was really the thing that brought the program from my head to my heart. And that I got this spiritual connection because I had been really critical about my prayer life. And I realized through these calls that I was seeing God through you at least 3 times a day. And I was getting so much from it, so much from it. And, you know, I hope that I was giving as well, but, I was finally being connected and I was finally, like people say, I was in the middle of the herd, which makes it harder to walk away or to fade away from this program. And then I heard things like, this is a lot of work. And I, when I heard it out loud, I said, okay, I'm not alone in that because I love to get a little chip on my shoulder and think that I'm working so hard and nobody else is. And I see these women in program and men too, that give and give and give. And they just keep giving more each year. It's not that I'm going to do less. I'm going to do more. And I want to now. I get it. It clicked. I realized that I guess I didn't always have both feet on the side of the program. I just kind of wanted to still straddle things. Yeah. So then I did the steps and it was amazing. I heard, I had some new experiences. That's what I kept praying for because I had done the steps before. And I get it. I've talked to future sponsees and they're like, I don't want to do the doctor's opinion again. But this idea of asking for a new experience has been game changing. Also to getting access to a lot of people to call for my 10th steps. And I share my 11th step and I handwrite it at night. I love that. I used to use the app. There's nothing wrong with the app. It's great. But I was just checking it off the list. And so what was great for me is I love to get in bed and write it out and then share it. And I get to, you know, I get to go beyond the lines. Sometimes I felt like answering yes and no was too black and white for me. So it's nice to kind of figure that out. And so I have a group of people now. I have my phone is full of people that I can call. And you know, some I know really well and some I don't know at all, but I can give my 10 steps to them. I also got vocabulary from somebody who is very involved in 10 step side activities. And I got more vocabulary to look at my part in the 10th step because I had a few words to use, but this increased my vocabulary. It helps me see what are examples of being dishonest, what are examples of being self-seeking, so that I could be more clear and I could dig down and really see where my character defects are. And so that's been an amazing experience. That's just absolutely keeping me clean. Another thing was realizing that, and I am watching my time, just so you know. Another thing was realizing that the word resentment, now I understand why people were always telling me it's Latin root, to feel again. Because to me, the word resentment sounds like I'm angry. And I don't really consider anger one of my bigger emotions. But now resentments to me are anything I'm feeling over again. What is making waves in my life? What is shattering my peace? It could be as simple as like, I get a little heads up. So I eat my lunch at a certain time. If I look at the computer and it's 10 in the morning, I'm like, what's up? And then I realize, oh yeah, Bob sent me that email. I really didn't like the tone of that. And I can do a 10 step on it. And I used to discount those things and say, Eileen, that is so petty. You can't even, you know, it's not even worth mentioning. But I got to tell you, those are the things that were killing me. Those were the things that were building up. You know, the guy you sit next to every day at work who clicks his pen forever, it's like, I'm going to kill somebody. And now I try to take the judgment out of it. God loves me. I'm flawed. God, I'm so flawed. But he, you know, by doing these, I'm able to stay clear. I'm able to stay connected and I can be here for you. And the joys of the program now are so numerous. One of them is I can keep my commitments. And I love being with my niece and nephew. And sure, they drive me crazy sometime, but I don't have to feel that guilt and shame about not wanting to be around them. I talk about my program if somebody's interested. I tell you too, just realizing and reiterating that this is a disease has helped me so much because I walked around with enough shame. You would have thought I went around killing people. And now I see I just was doing the best I could and it was pretty crappy. It was pretty crappy. So I love in the big book where it says, you know, we are an undisciplined lot and we are going to let God discipline us. And that was what was missing from my life, which is hilarious because after years of going to Catholic school, I thought I had had enough discipline for my life. But really, I didn't have any. I just did what I was told because I was afraid. And now I can let the fear go and do what I need to do. And I love the idea that joy is when what I have to do is what I want to do. When it becomes that, then I can live in joy. And that's really where I feel like I am today. So yeah, if anybody's suffering, keep coming back and, you know, talk to somebody, get a sponsor. This is a program of action. There's a lot we need to do, but there's a lot of joy in it. And thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.